Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And sitting in with us is Kathy Flores, who is still sitting here from the last podcast that we just recorded.
She sat there a long time.
It's
like a week almost.
And she's still sitting there. So she hasn't got up and left, so she's just on the show.
Awesome.
And we got John the Sound Man, who is over here, but he's about to run out of the room because we're about to cover a topic that he is fairly uncomfortable with. Oh, there he goes now.
What is that topic?
So I am directing the show and acting in the show. I don't know if you did that. I sometimes will act in the shows I direct.
I'm pretty sure. I think we've talked about that before.
Oh, okay.
That seems to happen.
Oh, once in a while. So I'm doing the show Misery, the Stephen King show Misery. And it's, for the most part, it's a three-person show, but for the most part, it's two people on stage. And now, so Nathan, you said you're not familiar with the script?
No, I don't think so. I looked at, I'm looking at a picture, and it looks familiar, but I'll just go, no, so I'll be the sake of discussion for this anyway.
Okay, so this is a show about an author, and he goes to the mountains to work on his novel, and as he is leaving the mountains, he gets stuck in this, or this crazy storm hits, and he goes off the road, his car crashes, he's probably going to die, but he gets rescued by somebody, and he wakes up with, you know, his legs are just feeling like they're, the script describes that they're just on fire, and he's in all this pain, and he's in a strange bed, and this, you know, lady is over, lady named Annie is over him, and she's telling him, I'm your number one fan, and how she was, you know, he was very lucky that she was there to pull him out of the car. Well, she wasn't just there, she was stalking him, because, you know, she's that type of number one fan, and so she's got him out, and she helps him to recover somewhat, but, you know, she tells him, you know, when the roads clear up, we'll get you to a hospital. The phone lines are down, but as soon as the phone lines are back up, I'll call, let everybody know where you are and that you're okay. But as the story goes on, it becomes more and more apparent that she has no intention of ever letting him go.
That's creepy.
And so I want to brainstorm with you on this one. Here's something that we've never done before on an episode, but there's a couple scenes on here that I don't know how to do.
Okay.
And there's some options that I've looked at. I've been doing research on how other theater groups have done them, but I'm not completely sold on any of the ways. And so I want to see what the legendary way would be of doing this. Now, this scene right here that you're about to watch, that John just had to run out of the room from.
He literally did. Mike's not joking.
Yeah, he was like, this would be a good time for me to go leave. This makes him uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable scene. In fact, I'm going to have more fun watching your reaction than the actual scene here.
And then after, you'll tell me what we're going to work on and what I know by this scene.
Yeah, you'll know by the end what's got to be done. But
okay.
For everybody who's listening at home, we're about to show Nathan the infamous hobbling scene. All right, so go ahead and check it out. And, maybe I'll narrate through this a little bit.
They might be able to hear it.
Yes. Of course, John the Sound Man left, so we have no idea if anybody can hear this or not.
Hopefully you could hear us. Hear the rain?
I'm gonna listen in his headphones and see.
Oh, that'd be cool. Ooh, Kathy Bates.
You can hear just a little bit, not too much. All right, yeah.
Listen to it now. She injected him with a needle.
Yeah. So she caught him trying to sneak out.
To leave?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she's very bipolar.
Paul.
So if you'd like me to stay and play some more for you, I'd love to.
I know you've been out.
What?
And Moonlight Sonata comes on. He's all tied up.
No, I haven't.
Paul, my little ceramic penguin in the study always faces due south.
I don't know what you're talking about. ceramic penguin.
Is this what you're looking for? I know you've been out twice, Paul. First, I couldn't figure out how you did it. But last night, I found your key. I know I left my scrapbook out. I can imagine what you might be thinking of me. But you see, Paul, it's all okay. Last night, it came so clear.
Yeah, I feel like I want to narrate time over this, but I'm so sucked into the scene.
You'll come to accept the idea of being here. Paul, do you know about the early days of the Kimberly Diamond Mines? Do you know what they did to the native workers who stole diamonds? Don't worry, they didn't kill them. That would be like junking your Mercedes just because it had a broken spring. No, if they caught them, they had to make sure they could go on working, but they also had to make sure they could never run away. The operation was called hobbling.
Eddie, whatever you think I'm not doing, please don't do it. Eddie, for God's
sake. Shh, darling. Trust me.
For God's sake.
It's for the best.
Eddie, please!
Almost done. Just one more. God, I love you.
I've dated girls like that. Wow.
Speaking of which, Nathan, did you teach your daughter how to throw a baseball?
I did. Why? What happened? Oh, because she broke her mom's face? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, oh.
Yeah, she broke her face. But that's a pretty intense scene.
That's an intense scene. How would you do that?
Well, it would be in the bed. I would have basically a bed mm-hmm. that the actor could lay in underneath the mattress. So it would be like a box frame. Mm-hmm. And the real actor.
So you already know how you would do this?
Yeah.
You just watch this. Okay.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think I would do it that way, mm-hmm. but I would have basically a box spring and a mattress and then have the real actor's body in the box thing. So his upper mm-hmm. body's above mm-hmm. and then his lower half would be under in the box spring and on the mattress would be the dummy legs or mm-hmm. feet. And I would show that breaking and then in a blackout, I'd have them or a transition or wherever if it's, I don't know how the show goes, but one or another in a lighting transition, I'd have them swap after the crushing of the foot, the hobbling, if you will. I would have them just swap back out and get on top of the mattress at that point, and it would be really their body there, so their legs can move, and they just have not to use their feet. And they could already have makeup on it, have it all, whatever, purple and black and blue, if you want.
This is my biggest worry about this show, because that is, like, the iconic scene. Mm-hmm. And everybody, like, who sees Misery, I mean, if you look at the poster for it, it's literally got that scene on there. It says like Misery and it's got that hammer.
Yeah, I would do a body laying under a mattress, like split in half, so then they're sitting underneath, and then have a fake pair of legs that you could even have it be pretty weighted. You could have it be actually like they sell like real like weighted body parts and stuff, not plastic. And have it weighted like sand, so they could actually bash that foot. Is it one hit in the movie, in the music, the play as well?
One hit on each leg.
Each
yeah.
leg. So I would just do that, crush that, and then some type of transition. Like have, if I were doing it, I don't know how it's written, but I would have her go to the window after, walk away from it, have the lights go down, have her go to the window and say that last line. If that's how the stage was, her last line, what'd she say? You know, I love you. She'd walk over the window slowly. Lights would fade out on the bed. Have her at the window. And then look over at the audience and go, you know, I love you, John, or whatever his name was. And then by the time they're done, the scene can come right up with his new legs that are his real ones there. The other ones got stuck into the box spring, and it could be damaged.
What about sound-wise? Like, how would you make it sound?
It would sound real. If it's weighted in sand, it would sound like a normal leg. Like, I mean, it would sound... I mean, that was done probably the same way in the movies. Foley, they probably had a sandbag going or something like that. So I would just get if you buy fake rubber ones, fill it with sand and then gaff it or tape it at the thighs. That's how I would do it.
I've been talking with about everybody that I can think of about this that, like, you know, might know something of how to do it. And looking online at how other theater companies have done it, one that I saw, right before she swings, they black it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm back and forth on that approach because, it, on one sense, it seems like a bit of a cop-out.
There's no production value in that.
However, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and actually a few people have told me the same thing. And so, yeah, just curious to hear your thought on it. Because I really do not know which is the way to take it.
I would do that. The blackout, I think, is it's kind of a cop-out, in my opinion. If you're showing it to, like, high schoolers and under, I'd probably say blackout or have her back to the audience and then come down on the bed and hit by, you know, hit off the side of the foot so you hear and see the hitting. So her back's to the audience for that. If you want to be a little more or less gruesome, then you see the axe or the sledgehammer up, and then you hit in the bed you have in the corner of the bed made, have sandbags there. So you get that sound. I think that's the simplest way. But I think if you want to show it, I would do a body double. It's not hard to build a bed with a fake box spring that they could sit in.
Well, I mean, this person yesterday was making the suggestion saying, like, if you black it out, he's like, everybody has seen this movie. And it's like they know what's happening. They know it. Like, they don't have to see it. Their mind is going to instantly go to it. And so, I mean, that is an option.
I'll play devil's advocate on that real quick.
Let's play devil's advocate.
Because I agree with that. I mean, I have not seen this. And if I did, it probably was 20 years ago. I don't know when this came out. It looks like a long time ago. 70s maybe or 80s.
It's got to be
80s. Yeah, so if I saw it, if I even saw it, but I don't think I did. But I think your job as a director is to pull people into a show. And I think if you can, without offending, you know, if for kids to see it or John to see it or high school students or whoever, if you want to be cautious and not be like too gruesome, 90. Okay. So we were a little off, but I think the back turned and hearing it, I think that's that for me as an audience member that draws me in. A blackout would pull me out for a moment. Blackout, I'd be like, Oh, she hit his legs. But I don't know the story, so I wouldn't know. I'd be like, did she hit him? Like, I would be like, did she? Like, I wouldn't know.
You'd still hear a fair share of screaming and hear the crack.
See, and that could work. And that's a good option, but I think why not show it if you can for a couple bucks more? Why not show it and get that production value?
Because here's the other thing that I'm worried about. So I did look online and saw a place do it with the fake legs. Mm-hmm. And they were so obviously fake that there was, from the moment you see these legs, you're not worried. You're like, oh, they're fake. And she brings up the sledgehammer. I'm like, ooh, here go the $1.99 feet.
Right.
Crack. Well, and it's so fake that so now I'm looking for, like, okay, how do we show that but have it not? I mean, these things weren't moving. They were like just sitting there for the whole scene. It's obviously not one toe wiggles, not one. It's like,
well, even in the movie, they were covered until she brought the wood over, though, right? And when she brought the wood over is when she uncovered his foot and put it up on the block. So you could stage that. And you could go on Amazon, there's real appendages that look very authentic. We did that for Little Shop, and those things look very real. Like, even to the point that I was like, let's get faker-looking ones for Little Shop here. So there's real-looking ones for sure. And if the actor's there, under there, they're moving their feet at all, there'll be some type of moving. But it depends how you stage it. Do you want the foot of the bed facing the audience, or do you want it side to side?
I have thought of it both ways, and I'm kind of thinking it like the feet are not facing the audience. The feet are like side to side.
So you see a side angle. So it just depends how you stage it. But I think if you could show it, I would do it that way. But I also think back to the audience is pretty intimidating. As an audience, you see this person's body, whoever that is, with a sledgehammer up here, coming down and making contact even to the corner of the bed where you could put sandbags or not really, but a side of beef or whatever you want it to sound like. Find that noise that sounds the most authentic and then put that there. If it's jelly, whatever it is, like a gel bag or something.
How important is that sound, do you think?
That's what I think is the most important. Mm-hmm. And then visually afterwards, if the audience is close enough, seeing the bruise marks or the purple, seeing the makeup after, I think those two are the most important, the sound effect. And obviously him acting it well.
What would you think of the feet covered in socks with blood packets?
That would be gross and work. But I think it's better to see a bare foot. I think that's more, makes you think that you couldn't hide it. I don't know. I think both work.
A bare foot and blood packet?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you could do that if you want blood. Is there blood on his or is it just broken?
I'm sure that there would be blood on that.
Yeah, a sledgehammer?
A sledgehammer into a... Yep.
Oh, that looked painful. It just went sideways, too. It was like...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think because like I've seen it to two extremes. One where they don't show it at all and one where they show it and it's obviously just so fake. And yeah. That is the moment that has to sell.
I always say this, and I said this in this podcast. If an audience walks out and goes, "Oh, they tried, you failed," I'd rather them walk away going, "They made a choice and it was good." But if they walk away going, "Oh, they tried," then you failed them. So if you only could find the cheap legs and it looks like cheesy Dorothy or the witch legs that roll up in Wizard of Oz, don't do it. Have her back turned, blackout as she hits or whatever. Just commit to something, but do it well. If you can't do it well, then don't do it. That's kind of my philosophy. We had flying here for Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. Worked fine. It was still a little cheesier. It was on the verge of almost not. We went to YPAC trying to fly. Their fly system was like... It took like, he'd have to be out there like 5 minutes before the song to get up in the air. Mm-hmm. We did one show and I sat there and I watched the audience and they were slightly engaged and they were like, "Oh, he's up in the air." But I went back to the guys at intermission and I said, "Hey, from now on, the next whatever seven shows we're doing, we're not flying. We'll have him out there just being goofy and everyone will dance around him. I'll get a box he can stand on behind the head of the bed." Because I don't want people to walk out going, and I heard people go, "Oh, they tried to fly him." Tried? What? No, we did. Just was crap. So if you can't do it, don't do it. That's my opinion. If you can't find the right legs and you want to put the expense out for whatever that would cost, back to the audience, very timid, broad, whatever lady, if she's pretty broad, have that come up.
It's Monica.
Okay.
So Monica's playing this part, and Monica will tear this
part. Yeah, she'll act that really well.
She'll do that so well.
Yeah. I would say have her back to the audience, hit a bed, and then black out. I don't think you need to black out before. I don't think so. As an audience, if you're going to see that show, that's going to push you over. You're going to be like, it's like psycho beyond psycho. She's already crazy just from the 5 seconds that I saw, or 2 minutes.
Well, what if the audience is out here, and what if she comes, breaks the upstage ankle, and then as she's going down, because that's easier to hide, then she's coming down to here and start to swing, and that's where they black it up.
That'd work, but she has a line after it, doesn't she? She goes, "I love you, John," or...
Could happen in the blackout.
Could happen in the blackout. It could happen, I don't know, or...
Why not show both? If her back's covering the audience, hit the other one. You can't see it anyway. She's blocking it.
She's blocking it.
And then his screaming, if it could be a loud scream on the hits, and then I think it'd be really creepy as he's going, you hear, "I love you, John," or whatever her line is. That's kind of creepy over his, like, agonizing pain. Not the screams. The screams are on the hit, and then bring it down where it's just gruesome pain. Like,
I want to do it where it hits, and then you just hear, like, "Oh."
That's a choice.
I wonder what the audience would do now if it were the flip. If you had the most realistic looking ankle break and then the actor, "Ouch!
Ow.
Why did you do that?
Ooh.
Ow!
Ooh.
Oh, that hurts! That smarts something fierce."
Wow, that was a good hit.
That was good. The other thing that we got to do, the script calls for this, a fire on the stage. So he writes this book that she doesn't like, and so she wheels in a barbecue. And, you know, like one of those little outside barbecues you'd have, and she's got his book on it and lighter fluid, and he lights it and it burns right there. And I don't know how to do that. So it's calling for, like, live, like this thing goes up in smoke on the stage.
John will know about this stuff, but because in his magician days, but they have that flash paper that used to be dollar bills or like paper. You literally light it, it disappears in like seconds. Like I've played with that when I was a kid, and I wasn't a magician, but I thought it was cool. You light it, it goes in a second. You also could have a portable fog machine that I told you about. You could put it in the bottom of the grill, and then she could light this and pretend that she does that, and then smoke comes out. She closes the lid, and smoke comes out.
Here's what worries me about the smoke machines. And again, like maybe you could recommend a brand or something like that, but smoke machines have either, one, been unreliable for me. Like, they light up, they're ready to go, and I'm like, cue the smoke machine, and then they pick that exact moment to cool down.
Yeah.
And so, like, shh, nothing's happening. Or you're like, cue the smoke machine, and you hear,
shh. Yeah, we have one smoke machine that does that for us. That's, ironically, it's a very expensive one, but it's not meant to be on stage. It's supposed to be far away.
Uh-huh.
But for Mermaid, we already had four or five, and I needed one more. I said, just bring the loud one out. We'll use it during Ursula's scenes. But the portable one, it's pretty quiet. It goes, shh. And it's wireless. You have a little remote. So that's pretty easy. Maybe you could borrow mine. But
yeah, can you show me that one? Like,
yeah.
You know, doesn't have to be right now. Or
I think it's here, actually. We can look after we film. I think it's here. But yeah, but put it in there, have her light a match, and then drop it. You can have a little cup of water in the bottom. She drops in for safety, drops it in that. Then the fog machine's cued, close the lid as it's fogging. It's alluding that it all caught on fire.
How big is that flash paper?
You can get sheets. You can get. Yeah, you can get.
What you want?
You can get bulletin board ones. You can get dollar size. That's your. They have dollar ones. They have like little paper. They have all kinds.
You can get like a ream of paper.
I don't know. I'm sure you could stack it, but you don't need that. You could just. Yeah, but they have it. I mean,
John going to researcher.
But they have that, so.
All right. Yeah. So just.
When is that playing?
The first two weekends of July.
So this will be up by then. So check it out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's. I'm legit nervous about this one. Like normally, I'm not too nervous for shows. I'm excited, but there's like a lot of the stuff that's. I still don't know how to do it, and this is just so iconic that I know people are going to come out to see that, and they want to see the hobbling scene.
Yeah, I think you'll do it fine. Just the suggestions you've gotten and what we talked about today, I think if you do any part of those.
8x9, 8K magic. I like the ones I like this.
Yeah. I've done full sheets of paper.
So there's four sheets of them for $12. So that's an expensive ream of paper.
It is, but you'd only need one. You don't need the whole ream. If it's she's putting in a barbecue grill, you said, right?
Yeah, but how? I mean, you're supposed to have this like entire book.
Yeah, so just so have 30, that on top. You wouldn't want to light. You can't. That would be a ball of fire. But honestly, you could just have the top one, set it down in there, and have her light that, and the top will go, and then smoke comes out. It'll be easy to do. That's easy.
So what happens to so after she lights it, if you have the rest of it under there,
it goes so fast it won't catch on fire. It goes so quick. It's like, it's so quick.
Yeah, well, then,
I did it with my dad with $5 and $10. I would pretend like I lit on fire and I'd keep his money. I'm like, dad's gone. He's like, you gotta learn that trick better. I'm like, it worked once or twice and then he stopped giving it to me. But he's like, Nate, that's not a trick. I said, yeah, the school. I got it through Scholastic sales. They had the book sales. I was like, they sent a little magic kit, and I was like, I came up on like probably $15 that way or something.
Okay, so, she puts the Serema paper down, and we got a flash.
Where is she putting down it?
In the barbecue.
And the audience won't see that, will they?
I mean, it's a fairly close. It's an intimate audience.
Right, but are they above you or below you? Like the seats, are they equal with you?
Some are even with the stage.
Yeah,
some.
So yeah, they won't see. They won't really see in the grill. It's. I don't think that matters. I would do the fog. Light it in there. Have her light a match. Put it down. The fog's going. As the fog's going, just shut the lid, and the fog will bleed out the sides, and it looks like it caught on fire. Then you don't have to rebuild your prop every day.
All right. John's already got it pulled up on YouTube.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's right. Make a show with a fog machine, but it's you could do that two ways. An audience will be none the wiser. They'll be like, what? All right.
So, yeah. So,
so when's it playing, though? So I know you said the first week of July.
The first two weekends of July starts July 5th. Yeah.
July 5th. Is it a two-person cast?
It's mostly two people. It does have a third character in there that's kind of a smaller part. The policeman, who his name is Buster, who's also been looking for the rider because he's knows that they found the car, but they never found a body. And he knows that this lady is, like, the number one fan, so he's just automatically a little bit suspicious. So
I might watch it.
He's like, it is a very good story. The script is interesting because it's more written for film than it is for stage, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blackouts. Like, it goes like, a page, blackout. Another page, blackout. Another page.
That's my most, like, Little Mermaid, I had two real blackouts. I do not like blackouts.
I was feeling the same way. I'm like, oh, this is, I don't know how to do this. It's just like a couple lines, blackout.
You might just have to be creative in the way you stage it, but the problem is they're probably in different locations, or is it in the room the whole time?
It's all in the room the same, it's all in the room for the most part. There are a few scenes that are not in the room, but that's the main thing, is it shows passage of time. So, the lady, Annie, she walks in, she's got a few lines, blackout, and then she comes back in, and it's like, a week later, and she's in different clothes.
Is there a window in your set?
Yes.
So you could do projection in the window to do passage of time, and she can just go out and change a shirt or a cloak or something like that. And then, so just show passage of time to the projection. So at least something's happening as she's exiting to come back in with a tray or whatever. So you don't have so many blackouts.
What kind of projectors do you use?
All kinds.
I've been looking at them, and I see like anything from like really, really cheap, to like very, very elaborate. And I'm trying to think like, okay, what is one really need to be able to pull this off in a small, this theater I'm doing it at, it's a 99 seat theater. It's not.
Who's doing the lighting?
I asked some high schoolers to do it.
Do they have lighting there, or is it more just general lights on and off kind of thing?
They've got lighting there, but we also got this other lighting, and they know the lighting better than me. I mean, they run the lights, from their phone.
We got all these cool LEDs, they just
run them from their phone.
Anywhere from like $2,000 to $3,000 would be a good price range for a short throw. That would be decent. It's not the best. Like the one that's upstairs right now, that's like a $75,000 projector. So there's crazy
Maybe
prices.
You shouldn't be talking about that on the air. You get robbed.
And we're alarmed.
And
there's guard dogs, and I'm here, so bring it on.
And I noticed there's like, five armed guards walking about.
Yeah, we just have to do that nowadays.
But you don't really need five armed guards. Just get Annie Wilkes with a sledgehammer.
Honestly, you might be right. I don't want to meet her, though. That's creepy. Anyway.
I thought you dated her.
No, dated something like that.
Oh, right.
No offense to anybody I dated. But you know who you are.
That's why you've got that limp.
No. I'm hobbling.
No, just kidding. All right, so thank you. Thank you for brainstorming with me.
I'm excited. I'll go see it. I'm not sure where it lands with our schedule, but if I'm available, I'll come check it out for sure. I'll watch your show first and then watch the movie, so I'll have no expectations. And then I'll be impressed by yours, and then I'll go watch a movie and go, Mike's was better.
After you watch mine, you'll still probably have no expectations.
No, I'll say Mike's was better than the movie. Even though those two actors in that were, like, obviously iconic. They're legends.
They are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a good script and a good movie.
Have you done this before at all? Have you seen it before, I mean? I know you haven't done it.
I've never seen it on stage. Bruce Willis did this on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah, with
Bruce Willis.
With Laurie Metcalf was the actor. Do you know her?
I do.
She was the actress that played opposite. But I don't. That's just one of those ones where, like, Kathy Bates kind of screwed it up for everybody. Like,
you can't do it.
There's nobody going to be better than Kathy Bates in that.
Well, and even James Caan, he's a legend, too. That'd be hard to follow. I wouldn't want to follow his shoes.
Best actress.
Yeah, I mean,
that's John. Just, John just got all the stats pulled up for everything that we. John is like the AI of our show. We just have to.
Must be nice, John.
This is what we just have a question. When was this? And the answer comes to us. It's like
it makes us seem legit, even though it's just John pulling up his stuff. But
well, the German listeners expect a lot from us.
Yep, and I even sometimes type the keys to pretend like we're looking stuff up, but it's really John.
It's really John doing stuff.
Anyway.
So, all right. Well, thank you very much for brainstorming that with me.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't know how exciting an episode that'll be for everybody else listening in, but I needed to have that conversation. And this is the only time I get a half hour time slot with you.
That's true. We've been pretty busy.
But anyway, so when are you going to come hang out?
Yeah, I will. When summer starts for you? When's summer start? 2 weeks?
About 2 weeks.
Live from the hot tub.
Let's do that. Seriously, like for real. Okay, I'll do it.
Live in the hot tub. All right.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't want to be having the mics in the water. Even though now I know how to do that. Since Little Mermaid, we had her swim up. We got some water elements now, so. Lapel or live. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll do that. And then our next couple episodes will be a lot quicker because I won't let it take so long to do.
All right. Well, we got at least 3 weeks to get it figured out.
All right, sweet. Jesus.
All right. So thank you all for joining us on this episode of the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
Later.